we present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, a programme full of wit, erudition and charm. Is yes, Minister, but this show features, on my right, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my left, Tim Brooke Taylor and Willie Rushton. And now it's time for the high spot of the show. We may as well get it out of the way early. I'd like to introduce you to a young lady who puts Dolly Parton in the shade, not to mention half the adult population of Nashville, Tennessee, our scorer, Samantha. Let's start off the show with a new round called Wuthering Hillocks. It takes as its premise the poverty of the publishing industry. All new books or plays will have to be cheaper versions of existing ones. Willie Rushton, will you start?
The concise Oxford word.
Graham.
Oh, that comic classic, Jerome K. Jerome's One Man in a Rubber Ring.
I know the feeling.
What does it feel like?
Tim Brooke Taylor.
Dickens' Old Curiosity Car Boot Sale.
Dickens' Pickwick Tissue. Tale of Two Suburbs. One Thing to Do with a Dead Rat.
Dog End, Prince of Denmark.
Bleak Shed.
Parking Offence at the Vicarage.
Catcher in the Muesli.
That's the place to catch her.
Are we allowed films?
Oh, yes. No.
Anything you like.
No.
Oh,
yes.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Tadpole Dundee.
No, you're not allowed.
Andrew Lloyd Webber has been cut down to size, if that's possible. Andrew Lloyd Webber's Kittens, Starlight All Stops the Crew, Phantom of the Sing-Along of Max, Joseph in His Amazing Beige Duffel Coat, Jesus Christ Runner-Up and Opportunity Not.
There's another Dickens classic, Dombey.
Our winner this week is Tim Brooke Taylor. And we go on...
Steroids.
We go on to the point in the programme where I give the teams advance warning of the late arrivals they'll be announcing at the end of the show. This week I'll be asking for the late arrivals at the Sailor's Ball.
Oh, good.
The Sailor's Ball.
Your rubber ring will come
now. This next round is called Tag Wrestling. In this round, I'm going to give each team the tagline to a story, and I shall then start one of you off telling a story to fit your punchline. When I feel like it, I'll press my buzzer, which sounds like this. Oh. And a member from the opposing team will have to take up that story, but make it fit their punchline. Barry and Graham, your punchline is, David Owen bought 3 stone of onions and a ferret. And Tim and Willie, yours is, so Wayne Sleep moved into a cottage in the wood and lived happily ever after.
Oh, sweet.
And you've had the longest time to think about it, Barry and Graham, so we'll start with you, Tim and Willie.
Sir Wayne Sleep.
I've tossed up.
Sir Wayne Sleep phoned David Owen with this wonderful recipe for ferret stew. Basically, it was ferret stewed with onions. So David Owen hurried to the shops
and thought, this will be wonderful, my new cottage warming party in the woods. Now, Wayne Sleep, as you know, who in the previous round could have been in Duck Pond, but that's as opposed to Swan Lake.
Yes,
it's not bad, is it?
No,
too glossy. I knew
you've already won this week.
Oh, sorry. he got to the cottage and put in a big cooking pot, a copper pot. He put in the onions.
But enough of Wayne, because we should concentrate on the man who was supplying the comestibles. Wayne, as Tim rightly said, had got some onions, but David was doing the shopping.
He was shopping around for somebody else to have in his appalling little party, which is now reduced to about three people. Sir, Wayne Sleep has got this thing going on the boil, on his cooker, in his cottage, in the woods, which he hasn't got to yet.
What are you looking at, said David Owen, walking past. I'm looking at this cottage, Dave, said Wayne. Where are you off to? Well, I'm down the old onion and ferret shop, said David Owen.
Is that what you call it,
sir? No way to refer to the party.
That's no way to refer. No, I don't call it that, said David. Can't remember who's speaking now. Anyway, this is me, Tim Proctor. Hi, folks.
The sugar plum fairy.
Is the name of the dish I will cook when I move into my cottage.
Brilliant.
In the woods. So, Wayne Sleep, move into cottage.
Oh, my goodness. Everything's burnt, said Wayne, who had just met David Steele, who was also shopping. Practically everybody else who was around. Then, David Owen...
That's just how I like it, said Wayne, all burnt. That's exactly the place I've looked for all my life, said Wayne Sleep. Move into the cottage.
Meanwhile, David Owen bought 3 stone of onions and a fish.
Yeah, I think we're getting
it. Oh, well done.
We have a round called Blues Stroke Madrigal Stroke Calypso. It's the round when each team has to improvise a song with the members of the team singing alternate lines. And the subject for the song will be provided by the other team. Musical assistance will be provided by the Colin Sell Experience. Pretty ghastly experience. Tim and Willie, will you give Barry and Graham
a calypso
subject?
A calypso?
Calypso.
A calypso, right.
The Doctor Who calypso.
Good.
Doctor Who has got a brand new face
for travelling in time and travelling in space.
But no matter how far he goes, he'll find
he can't leave bloody Barney Langford behind.
Okay, very good. Will you give a subject to the others?
Another calypso, I think, don't you?
Yes. Joan Collins.
Joan Collins, yes.
Not so fast.
Did you happen to catch Joan Collins' sins?
The only known cure is 48 gins. There were several scenes that made you quite ill.
You've got to take your hat off to Bungalow Bill.
Right, now we have the game called Sound Charades. Using only the dexterity of their mouths, each team will in turn give us a charade of a play, film, book or whatever. The other team will then have to guess what it is. The winning team will each receive £350. And I must warn the teams that part of what I've just said is a lie. The first title will now be displayed on our electronic laser display scoreboard while the mystery voice will inform listeners at home.
Full Metal Jacket. Full Metal Jacket.
Okay, book or film?
Film.
It's a film.
Film, 3 words.
3-word film.
Right. We'll do it all together.
At once.
At once.
Out loud. Just like that. Bloody rude.
Quite about...
Slip the trousers off, sir. The inside leg needs a little light riveting.
If sir would allow me to remove the waistcoat with this can opener.
Would sir like a lightning conductor in a hat?
That'll do. Thank you, sir.
Curtain.
Metal?
Yep.
Metal. Metal, men of metal, metal suits, metal clothes, metal suits.
Oh, full metal jacket.
Full metal jacket.
Ah, good. Well, we've only got time for one more of those, so it's... Barry and Graham, here's your subject, which is going up on the electronic scoreboard now, and the mystery voice will tell you at home.
The Untouchables. The Untouchables.
Right, is it a book, a film, or what?
It's
television.
Television
and film.
Film. I believe it was a book in origin.
Yes, it was.
Two words.
Derek Jameson.
Jeremy Beadle.
Nicholas Parsons.
Is that it?
Yeah, that'll do.
Yes,
that'll do, right.
Vile Bodies. I think that's better than ours.
What do you say, TV?
There's something people.
They're revolting people, aren't they?
Yes. I remember a book called Revolting People.
Like Wat Tyler, historical reference.
Mm-hmm.
Does people come into it?
No.
Meanwhile, in Soppy Tucker's bra...
Is that a clue? What?
He's having one of his explosions in the head.
Meanwhile, in Al Jolson's jockstrap...
Oh, the Untouchable.
The next game's called Close Quotes. I'm going to give each team the first half of a quotation, and I'll ask them to complete it, and the winner won't get a look in my little box this week because I've thrown the damn thing away. Graham.
Oh, that's the whole
Graham,
point.
Graham, here's your quote.
We don't get
it's a
paid.
Long. It's a long road.
It's a long road that has no gents.
True, very true.
True.
Tim, when shall we three meet again, in thunder, lightning, or in rain?
Well, sometime during the summer anyway.
Very true.
We can't keep this up.
Barry, I must go down to the sea again.
I've lost my flippers.
Willie, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings.
And straight down the back of your suit.
That makes Willie our winner for this week. Tim, to be or not to be?
That is the apiarist's choice. Yes, the apiarist is...
You're becoming weird in your old age.
Barry, here's one for you. He who laughs last...
Listener. Sorry.
Is Stuart Hall.
Willie, here's a somber one for you. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle.
If you've put it through the liquidizer first.
Well, that makes Willie the winner for next week as well. We go on to a round called Bean Banana Huntington. In front of me I have a tray full of objects which I showed to the teams before the game. I have removed three objects and I'm going to ask the teams to tell me what they are. We're going to start with you, Barry.
The blast furnace isn't there. That was there.
It is.
It's behind the salt cellar, yeah. Herefordshire was on the tray, wasn't it? It isn't there now.
I've got one. That's one.
We'll get three that are missing.
Willie, on to you.
I don't understand this game. What did you say?
I wanted to explain the rules again.
Yes. Graham?
No, I can't see anything else missing apart from Herefordshire.
Well, there are two more objects missing. And your team is lagging behind.
Is the multi-story car park still there?
Yes.
Samantha's vest seems strangely empty, huh?
Right, you win that one, Billy.
All right.
We're going on now to a game called Call My Bluff. You may have seen on the television that programme of that name in which only one person is telling the truth, a bit like a party conference. We're going to play our version of that hilarious TV show. Each team member must define a word, and at the end I will pick the one I think is nearest the truth. The word is pomegranate. Pomegranate. Graham, will you vouchsafe a definition, please?
Yes. Pomegranate, or more correctly, pomegranate. It's a word which comes from the French, not from the French language, but a French family who came over, I think probably, with the Huguenots, and settled in Kent and started fruit farming, and they had an apple tree. Nobody knew what it was, and to find out if the fruit was A, edible, and B, tasty, they got their grandmother to try it. And she said it was absolutely delicious, and they started to sell it and referred to it in the family as the pom, being French, granate. And that's how the word pomegranate came to be. Incidentally, and surprisingly, the name of this French family was Smith. And the alternative and more popular name for that apple is now, of course, Golden Delicious.
A likely story. Tim Brooke Taylor, what's your definition?
In fact, it's a portmanteau word, following on the French. It's a Libyan word. We don't find it in many English dictionaries. It's the contents of a Libyan overnight bag. A bomb and a grenade. And it's become, over the years, it's become bomb-a-grenade. Pomegranate. Loses a little in the translation. And it has pits in it, too.
Barry.
Well, it's a verb. It's a verb. Pomegranate. It's the opposite of peregrinate, which is to move about a lot. It's pomegranate, to stand perfectly still. Pomegranate.
Right, the final definition from you, Willie Rushton.
It's an Australianism. It's pomming granite. It's a statue of Captain Cook in Botany Bay. It stands up. And, they call it pomegranate because they don't like to mention Captain Cook, mainly because they can't remember his name. Pomegranate.
Right. Well, I've had the four definitions, and it's a bit of a puzzler, this one. I'm not too keen on the Golden Delicious one of Graham's. Tim's Libyan overnight bag. I don't know why you wanted to bring her into it. I think I'm going to go. I'm going to dismiss Willie's there because I didn't write it down. I've forgotten what it was. I'm going to choose Barry Cryer's. I think it's yours.
Oh, yes. Well done. Well done.
Bluff. So whose was it?
Yes.
Oh, it wasn't, was it? Oh. You could have fooled me, Lord. And you did.
Never know. You never know.
I love that game. The next round's called Singing Relay. Colin will play a tune. With
There's a first time for everything.
This is the experience.
And each of the teams must attempt to sing alternate words. And the best time wins. So does the best team. Willie and Tim, you're first. Your song is Puppet on a String.
God, Willie's taking his shoes off.
I
wonder
if
one day
that
you're
saying that
you'll
care
if
you'd
say
you
love me. Love me. I'll gladly
be
there
like
a
puppy
on
a string.
Where's he gone now?
Love.
laugh
is just like a merry-go-round
with
all
the
fun
of
the
fair.
One
day
I'm
feeling
down
on
the
ground,
then
I'm
up
in
the
air.
Ah,
you
leading
me
on.
Tomorrow
will
you be gone?
Ah!
Wonder.
Oh. You start it again. I
wonder if one day
you'll care.
If you'd say you'd love me badly be there like a puppet on a string.
Like a
on a
string.
Well, if it hadn't been for Willie Rushton, who thought we were still playing the gargling game, you would have got some points for that. Now then, Barry and Graham, will you...
Luxembourg, un point.
Barry and Graham, will you sing Leaning on a Lamppost?
What were you singing?
Oh, I see.
I'm leaning on a lamppost at the corner of the street in case a certain little lady comes by.
Faster.
Oh, me. Oh, my. I hope the little lady comes by. I don't know if she'll get away. I don't always get away. But anyway, I know that she'll try.
Oh,
me.
Oh,
oh my. I hope the little lady comes by. There's other...
a girl
I could wait for. But this one I'd break any date for. I
won't
have to ask
what
she's late for.
She'd
never
leave me.
Leave me.
Oh, I withdraw me.
Me.
Flat.
She's
not
a girl like
that.
She's
absolutely
wonderful
and
marvelous
and
beautiful.
And
anyone can understand
why
I'm
leaning
on a lamppost at the corner
of
the street in
case
a certain
little
lady
comes
by.
That earns you 27 time faults and a disqualification because lamppost is one word, Barry.
Right.
Tell it like it is.
We're going on to a round called Sounds Peculiar. I'm going to play in a few bizarre sound effects and I want the teams to tell me what they are. The winner will receive a custard lighthouse. Here's your sound, Barry Cryer.
180!
Scalpel.
Open dart surgery.
Willie Rushton, here's your sound.
Sounds very like Mrs. Thatcher's solution to the problems of inner cities.
Okay, Graham, here's your sound.
Ow! Ow!
Terrible. That was Chief Constable James Anderton. Of me.
Right. Okay.
Counseling an offender.
Tim, here's your sound.
Oh, yes.
Hollywood.
That is an unsuccessful attempt to cover an enormous organ with a condom.
I can't quite figure it out. Lady in the front row winced and clapped at the same time. Now we reached the point in the show where Samantha go backstage to check the score.
Was I right or wrong?
While the teams announce the late arrivals at the Sailor's Ball. Do you want to say something to
not
the chairman?
Not at all. I just wanted to know whether it was the right answer or not.
It was, yes.
Thank you.
Or not. Late arrivals, please, at the Sailor's Ball.
Cabaret time includes the Tiller girls this time with their leader, Flo Tiller.
Rotten.
Should we get Mandy Lifeboat out of the way now?
And her good friend Mandy Pumps.
Ah. And Des Wendy Bort comes in.
Very welcome, please. Mr. and Mrs. Homey Hearties and their daughter Eve Homey Hearties.
Eve is actually better known as the first mate. She's in luck because the captain's courageous, the masterman ready, the midshipman's easy, and the cabin's boy name is Gripper. I'm going home now. Taxi up!
Everybody calls the second mate number two, and he doesn't like it. There's Arthur Chemes. On its invitation, it just says A. Chemes. Mr. and Mrs. Bottle of Rum. And their daughter, Anna. Yoo-hoo-hoo, Anna Bottle of Rum.
But also, the judge of the belly dancing competition has just arrived. He's here, of course, as an expert on naval ratings.
Talking of which, Edward Heath. And his lifelong friend who's always complaining, Moaning Clyde.
Mr. and Mrs. Go down with the ship, I'm off. And their cowardly captain's son, Hugh, go down with the ship, I'm off.
There's Captain Slog.
Oh. Oh, here's the food. Ah, it's lamb. Sheep ahoy. Closely followed by Davy Joneslocker.
Nasty attack of the Roaring Forties.
Served by the Chinese waiter, Chiang Hai Stopoff. Brought some unexpected...
Nice answer. He usually comes in about now.
He's brought some unexpected food in. He's just shouted, supplies, the main brace.
And we do welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Zovait. And their son, the policeman, P.C. Zovait.
And an Israeli admiral, Mauritania. He's been circumnavigated.
Well, this is the point where I have to come in and say we've come to the end of this week's programme. I always hate having to interrupt such a flow. I always get the feeling I've left it too late. We'll be back again next week, so join us then. Goodbye.
Barry Choir, Graham Garden, Willie Rushton and Tim Brooke Taylor were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by Paul Spencer.